This is a cool little episode we've got today. We've got Ben. He's 20 and he's got a startup company. This is a really amazing story. So let's have a chat with Ben. What up, gangsters? John, g'day, Ben.
Blessings.
Welcome, Ben.
So welcome to the My Millennial Money studio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Mate, our pleasure. Thanks for reaching out. It's funny, a lot of people just reach out and say, hey, can I come on the show? I'm like, yeah, whatever. So yeah, good on you for giving it a crack.
Helps with that content as well, doesn't it?
Well, and that's it. Like, I'm always looking for cool content. So if you think you've got something cool to share, I'll extract every living commercial cent out of it.
That's right. You can fly into Newcastle or Sydney and catch the train up.
Bada bing, bada boom. But before we get into it, actually, Ben's from Sydney. Are you aware of the My Millennial Money live night in Sydney?
Yes, yeah. I am. I've heard it on.
Are you going to come?
Sure, I'll be there. I'll definitely be there.
Nice. Well,
$29.
$29. So yeah, that's it's next month on the 8th of May, and it's a Wednesday night. It's a school night. We're going to talk about rent vesting and getting into the property market or investing if you don't want a property. We don't actually really know which way it's going to go, but there'll be a chance for you to ask any questions about your own personal situation, and we will just talk generally about that and get you motivated, encouraged. John is working on a special guest. Now, John, by next week when we record, I need you to have someone locked down.
Locked and loaded.
Okay, so John's going to find a special guest. And yeah, it's really good. It's under $30, $29. It will be in the CBD. It will be within walking distance from Wynyard or Martin Place in Sydney. We're doing a bit of a pilot. If the formula works, we'll roll the road show out all around Australia. But we do need you, if you're in Sydney and you are keen. I think there's over 100 people in the group that said they were keen that were in Sydney. We need you there because it's not worth doing. It's not worth anyone's time if there's three people there. So grab your ticket. Instagram. Click the link.
Catch a train. Don't drive in there. The parking is expensive.
Well, I was just telling the guys I paid $70 for like 2 hours or an hour and a half in the CBD.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, but
crackers.
But over, yeah, in the afternoon, it's easy. Get night rates will be less than $20. So, so come along. We want to meet as many Sydney listeners as possible because we chat to you all. And it's really cool. And another cool thing that I'm doing in the Facebook group once a week, usually Tuesday or Monday night from about 8:30 p.m., I jump on and interact and we have a good chat and it's a lot of fun.
Sounds like a hoot and a half.
It is.
Glenn in his pajamas.
Okay, are we ready to have a chat with Ben? You let's ready, John?
Yep.
You ready, Ben?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it.
You're listening to My Millennial Money.
Massive warehouse sale. Everything must go this Saturday only.
$5 off.
So, Ben, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So, I'm 20 years old. Sweet. I live in Sydney.
Nice.
Specifically Bondi, which is a beautiful part of the world.
Great vets in Bondi.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up with two entrepreneurial parents. So, both my mum and dad started their own successful businesses, which, I guess has sort of lifted me to become one myself.
What type of businesses do they run?
So, funnily enough, dad's in the exact same industry as you are.
Really?
So, he's a financial advisor. And then mum was...
Does he know me?
I think he said he's definitely heard of you.
Yeah.
He stalked your LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm a big deal.
Big deal. Yeah. Does he do more work than Glenn? Does he turn up more days per week?
He's a hard worker.
Yeah, okay. So he's different to Glenn.
But yeah, he's doing great guns.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And what's mummy do?
So my mum was, she sort of like climbed up the ranks, so to speak, in the whole entrepreneurial sort of scene.
Yep.
So, originally, she went to like Cordon Bleu school and
oh, wow.
Became professional chef.
Cool.
Which she wanted to do from a young age. And then pretty much she works harder than anyone I know, I reckon. Mm. And which I guess, you know, has not been passed on to me, unfortunately. Yeah. Got dad's genes there. But yeah. Mum then started her own events company.
Yeah, great. Right.
So she had a beautiful waterside catering and event space.
Perfect.
So a lot of people went there for weddings and all that sort of jazz.
It was the mindset, it was well and truly in your blood that you'll have to carve your own way.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? People you're surrounded by sort of paths your future, I suppose, to a certain extent.
Mm. Well, it's like my father was self-employed, my grandfather, his grandfather, so it was just in my blood. So it was bound to happen. Okay, cool. So fast forward, you're 20 years old, living in Bondi, you're at uni.
Yeah.
So what year of uni and what are you studying there?
So I am in my third year of uni. I'm currently studying a Bachelor of Management and then majoring in Digital Creative Enterprise.
Wow.
Which is pretty much, that's a fancy way of saying that I do business with a bit of innovation as well. Yeah. So,
yeah. See, I would love to do that if I had like spare time to just... Would I fit in there?
That's a no.
If I've heard one.
So what led you down that path, that course, Ben?
It's actually funny. I'm a big believer in, you know, everything happens for a reason. So obviously, ATARS came out and all that sort of thing. And originally, I just wanted to do straight, boring Bachelor of Business, and then I just pretty much mucked up my preferences. So,
because your ATAR was low or?
No, it was good enough, but I was waiting for a couple rounds. And, so during the first round, it wasn't high enough. But I did get into the Bachelor of Management, which from what I read up was sports, events and tourism.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's not really what I want to get into. Mm-hmm. And then my best mate, or one of them, he said, I'm doing Bachelor of Business in IT. He said that'd be a great way to sort of, you know, get into the field and all that. And I was like, that's a great idea. So I pretty much crossed out all my preferences. And then second round came along and I didn't get the offer. And I was like, but I got the ATAR for that one. So I was just like, what's going on there? Called them up and they pretty much went, yeah, no, it's full. So, I was like, So, I went back to the Bachelor of Management one. I was sort of looking and I was like, I guess sports is the one that best relates to me. But I didn't really like that. Yeah. And then I did a bit more research and there was this brand new course called Digital Creative Enterprise, of which you could major in. And I just went, right, okay, what's that? And then the first thing that it says for jobs in the future was entrepreneurship. And I was just like, well, bingo, that's exactly what I want to do.
It's me done.
Yeah.
Did it enter your mind or did mum or dad recommend another pathway as opposed to university studies?
So, dad always encouraged me to get the best marks I could just so I could have those sort of options. And then, I think mum was a bit more light in that regard and she was just like, look, it's not the be all and end all. It just might take you a little extra time. So, it was... I always knew I was going to go to university. It was just like which one I had to go to, I guess. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And how much are you learning about business / entrepreneurship outside of your course at the moment? Like what's are you doing a lot outside of your studies at the moment to?
Yeah. Huge amount. So I'm only 20 years old and I don't know everything. And I understand that I have, you know, limited sort of experience. So what I try and do is, chat to as many people as I can to sort of get that advice, get that experience, take that on board. Obviously, there's going to be some things I disagree with, but just taking the things I like and building from there.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, great.
As Oprah once said, finding your truth.
picture you as an Oprah listener too.
Glenn? So, Ben, I was going to ask you a question. Hang on.
Focusing on being too funny. Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's freaking comedy hour here.
Yeah.
No.
So, it's a 4-year course.
Just wait once.
3 years, but because I was working last year.
Yeah.
So it's part time.
Yeah, and actually, that's exactly what I was going to ask. So you're at uni full time.
So I've actually sort of relaxed a little bit on my uni just because I'm starting up this venture.
Yeah, sweet. Which we will get to.
Yeah.
And what are you doing for? So you're living with parents essentially at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm with my dad 6 days of the week because he's in Bondi, and then I'm with mum. 1 day of the week because she has relocated down to the Southern Highlands.
Yeah, sweet.
So she comes up especially to see me.
Yeah.
In the topic of rent vesting.
Yeah. We'll cover that next week.
Yeah. But we're creating a new term here. It's called rent shipping.
Rent shipping.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship whilst living at home.
Yeah. And that's what next week when we talk about rent vesting, I will swing around and we'll touch on, you know, people think rent vesting is I rent and then buy a property.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you say.
Yeah.
I'm camping, I'm renting, I'm living with mum and dad, and I'm investing into myself, into my own idea, into my business. So obviously, as a human, you've got a car that I saw pull up out the front. I thought you had a Golf, but no, you don't. everyone in the East has a Golf, apparently, but not you. You've got to put fuel in your car and pay for food when you go out. And do you pay rent or are they letting you fly?
No, I'm lucky enough to not be paying rent. Yeah.
Perfect. So what are you doing for work to actually earn a bit of coin at the moment?
Yeah. So I've been doing accounting for the past couple of years now.
Have you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you're like in accounting. Let's end the episode now. It's boring.
Go on.
There's heaps of accountants.
So how are you doing in accounting at 20 years of age?
So the firm I'm at, Hall Chadwick, they've got this thing called a cadetship program,
right?
Which is really awesome, actually. They they pretty much just teach you, pull you up the ranks, and give you all that value.
But I guess you don't see yourself as an accountant long term.
No. So if I'm completely honest, I did. When I was in high school, I applied to get the UTS Accounting Scholarship, which I just missed out on. And from there, I just applied for all these different accounting jobs.
Yeah,
and I think I must have missed the window because they contacted me about 8 months later.
Yeah, right.
And they were just like, oh, yeah, we're interested. And I was like, oh, did I completely forgot that I signed up.
But if your employer is working, yes, you want to be an accountant forever.
All right, so cool. Does accounting interest you or is it just a way to get some income?
When I was in high school, that was something that I would say I recognized that was a weakness within myself. So I was pretty comfortable with, you know, that HR, marketing, operations sort of side of things. But the finance side, I just needed to grasp my head around a little better.
Yeah.
And I think definitely through working in an accounting firm, just recognizing that weakness has really helped me to sort of, you know, turn that into a strength.
Mm. That's hats off, isn't it? Because to go out and, yes, earn some dollars, that's the whole idea of trading your time for money. But to do it in a field where you've realized a weakness is unbelievable at age 20.
And I think with your entrepreneurial stuff and the startup that you've got going, you will learn concepts and skills that you can apply forevermore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm a plank of wood when it comes to intelligence and, you know, left school at age 16 and I did an apprenticeship, but the stuff that I learned at age 16 in a technical trade, I still use today.
Yes.
And that's the planning, forward thinking, strategic thinking, fault finding. They're invaluable skills. I'm kind of like you, Ben. I think everything usually happens for a reason. I'm a big fan of the movie Eat, Pray, Love. I've never seen it. I always use that comment. But like, I don't believe anything that you do is not wasted. If you have that opportunity or the thought of, hey, I've done this, it wasn't ideal, but hey, I learned A, B, and C from this stuff.
Yeah.
And you can nothing's wasted. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you can lose a game by 10 goals, but you learn more.
Yeah, that's right. And okay, cool. So that's what you're doing at the moment. Relaxed uni. You've got a job. How many days a week are you in the accounting office?
So, at the accounting office, I'm in Monday and Friday.
Yeah, sweet. So, that's chill. And you've obviously at UTS. So
yes.
Shout out to all the UTS listeners.
yeah.
Can you, like, share this on, like, the intranet?
Yeah, no, I'll definitely do that.
Get the ETS talking about this bad boy.
No, I definitely will. Yeah.
So whilst your friends are partying on Mondays and Fridays, you're head down, bum up.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, it's hard as well because
Everyone has bagging parties on Monday.
Oh, they love to go out to the beach and that sort of thing.
Party.
Yeah, like uni. Sorry. Sorry, John.
No, you're right.
Thanks.
Continue, Ben.
Sorry,
we were. I don't know. We've been doing this every year and we still don't know what we're doing.
So most uni students go from anywhere from 8 to 12 hours per week of attendance, or I don't think you even have to attend these days. It's all online. So
the tutorials are compulsory, but the lectures are optional.
Right. Yeah. And how many hours in total?
So if I go to the lectures, which I actually do, I'm a bit of a nerd like that.
Yeah.
It would be part time. 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty good struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's more the work that you're doing outside of class, though. Yeah. That's the.
So
the
would you say that's 1-to-1? 6 hours in, 6 hours out.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's sort of how much effort you put in. So it that does vary.
Yeah. Okay.
I definitely work. It's probably about 2-to-1 for assignments, and probably about very minimal when it's not assignments.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good.
So, okay, cool. So, tell us about... Actually, so you run Gecko.
Yes.
Talk to us, what is Gecko and how it came about?
Right, how it came about. So, funny little story. I was in New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Hey, bro. Hey.
We've got a few listeners from New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, it's shout out to them.
there's more sheep in New Zealand than people. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Really?
It's facts, yeah. Mm. True. So, I was in New Zealand and my cousin was nice enough to take me and my mum in.
Yep.
And mum was in the guest room and I got a blowout mattress.
Sure.
And pretty much what happened was my cousin... She asked Joe Blow down the road, hey, can I borrow your mattress? And he was like, yeah, no worries.
Yeah, bro.
No, it's all good. Yeah. And, so I was just like, oh, Lenan, what happens if you didn't really know him and he didn't have a mattress? And she was like, oh, I don't know. I guess I would have bought one. And I thought, oh, that's a bit silly. Like, you wouldn't use it any other time because you've got the spare room. And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, why isn't there sort of, you know, a platform where you could just sort of rent that out? And then it got me in a bit of a spiral. Mm. And I was just thinking, oh, what else is there where you can, you know, just borrow things? And, that's, I guess, how Gecko came about. I remember I was in the car and I was driving my mate and his girlfriend through Sydney. And I told them about the idea. And they just, like, didn't say anything. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess it wasn't that great an idea. But,
they were asleep, were they?
It was hard for me to actually articulate it. And I think that's the difference because I have been working it for over a year now.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've sort of recognized. Like, it becomes a lot easier to say what it is because now I can say it in a sentence, but...
Hey, you're living and breathing it.
Exactly. Yeah. But before I couldn't.
So, prior to that moment... In New Zealand.
Yeah.
Did you always have that entrepreneurial thinking where you were looking for the next best idea or was that just a light bulb moment?
A bit of a light bulb moment, but also a bit of what you're talking about there. So, pretty much, I've recognized that I've wanted to be an entrepreneur since I was in year 11, I think.
Right.
Okay. And that was just through going to events with mum and dad. I can't actually pinpoint the time, but I do remember talking on the bus to my bus driver because we had a pretty social bus.
Yeah.
Pretty much saying, yeah, that's what I want to.
What sort of events that were you going to, if you don't mind me asking?
No worries. My mum won a New South Wales Business Chamber Award. She's heavily in the Chamber of Commerce. She's currently the main lady in Mossvale, down at the Southern Highlands. Right. And she was the Chamber of Commerce director in Walsh Bay, where she used to have her business.
Yeah, cool. The word chamber always sounds boring to me.
Yeah, I joined the local Chamber of Commerce when I started my business, but No offense, but they're just all old, boring people.
That's mum. No, I'm kidding.
So, it's basically great exposure. Yeah. And I think one of the rants, I answered the question of a 16-year-old. He's like, oh, I want to start a business. I'm like, you've got to solve a need.
Yeah.
And
100%.
You saw a gap in the market.
Yeah.
And you thought, hang on, I could plug something in here.
Mm.
And it doesn't exist. I mean, there would not be a competitor. Is there a competitor?
At the moment, I'd say a big competitor, the biggest one would be Gumtree.
Yeah.
But then you can't rent.
No, you can't rent. No. You can hire, though, essentially, can't you?
You can hire most things.
Yeah, but it's not built within the platform, so it's not really succinct with that.
Right.
So, basically, what you're saying is, hey, I need a friend's coming around. I need to hire a blow-up mattress. There's one within 8 kilometer drive and they want $12 for the night or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's relatively similar. There are a few sort of startup mechanisms that we've had to put in place to sort of make it a bit more scalable, I guess. So, at the moment, we're starting off with 4 categories.
Sure.
So, that would be clothing and accessories, furniture, electronics, and outdoor equipment.
Right. And did you market research those categories as in-demand categories?
Yeah, that is 100% the reason why I chose them. So, we did a survey of just under 100 people.
Right.
And those were the 4 recurring ones that kept coming up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good. And how far advanced is Gecko? So you said 12 months in now?
Yes. 12 months was when I made it a business, but it still doesn't have a website yet, which should be coming out in early July.
So, did you incorporate it? Is it a company, a trust? How are you doing?
Yeah, so it is. It's a proprietary limited company.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons why I did that. Security measures, the law firm that I'm with, they recommended that. So,
yeah.
Best to go with the professionals there.
Yeah. Good.
And how much money have you put into it, of your own money?
At the moment, I've put in just under $15,000.
Sweet.
Of which I've been told by certain advisors to stop.
why? Conservative accountants.
Yeah. It was more because they were looking at my budget and then they were sort of, you know, saying, look, you can invest your money smarter.
As in, like, traditional investments? Or
No, not in that way. More as in investing it into... investing my time into, you know, user research and just a lot of free stuff. So, having a chat to just the user base, which I think is the most important thing when you're starting your own business.
Yeah.
So, you've put 15 grand into it and you've got a MVP, which is a minimal viable product for those.
So I'm actually applying for that MVP grant right now
with the government or
the state government.
Is that 50 grand or 20?
So you've got a maximum of 25 grand, but we don't need 25 grand.
So if I gave you 10 grand tomorrow, what would you use it for in the business?
That would be for the software development.
Sure. And what platform are you using?
So we have outsourced our software development because that's a sort of area I'm not too experienced in. So we've gone with IDAQU, who are awesome. They've been great so far.
And is it AWS? Like, are you using like Amazon Web Service? Or
yeah, we're using Amazon.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Is this sort of turning into a bit of Shark Tank?
Maybe. Sorry, I'm just really interested.
Yeah, no, it's great. Great questions. And for listeners out there that are entrepreneurial minded or want to be business owners, like, fantastic sort of backstory, right?
And I guess I'm asking you questions, and it might feel like I'm grilling, but I'm just
no. I got grilled yesterday, don't worry.
Yeah, no, it's actually I actually used to go to these events because I created, like, in 2011, a whole heap of kids apps. And I went to Google events, and then, you know, I invested, I think I probably invested 25 grand.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't end up working out because you just needed money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, EA Sports were coming in, all the big players were coming in. But it's good because you go to these events and people, they ask, oh, what are you doing? You can actually start to really articulate and get conviction, like you said before, about what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, if I gave you 10 grand tomorrow, you would put it into the development of it.
Yeah.
And what about UX? And for those listening, that's the look and the feel and the user
interface. Yeah, yeah. So, the user experience and the user interface, when you're creating a MVP, I have got the software developers to work on that. But getting outsourcing a UX sort of designer and all that sort of thing, that is more of a phase three sort of... Once you've got a lot more money to play with.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah, so that's it. Because at the moment, there's no point throwing 15 grand at some graphics when you've got to get a product and see if the market wants to use it and test
it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You've definitely got to validate the market before you can sort of get involved.
So, a lot of businesses, and they say it all the time, it takes a good 3 years to put your footprint into the into the business world and maybe even start making a profit. If we want to cover the elephant in the room, how... Is it making money at the moment for that 15K investment of your business and obviously a whole heap of time? How is it transacting for you at the moment?
Yeah. So, at the moment, no. Money-wise, I haven't made a cent.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at it as, you know, I'm losing money or I'm losing, you know, I'm wasting my time.
No.
I'm more looking at it as an investment of my time, an investment of my money.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that's the mindset you have to have in these situations, because if you come in with this, like, oh, I've lost all this money, or I've, you know, this has been the biggest waste of time, then you just, I know with me personally, I just go in this downward spiral where, you know, it's of just negativity.
Yeah. And to be honest, that's why, you know, we all go, like, I go through those, you know, with this bloody podcast. I'm like, it's costing me a freaking arm and a leg to do this. Pretty much no big return. Like, we run the odd ad and we had Glee Coffee help and all that. But what it means is, at these times when you go to the spiral, if you get that negativity in your life, at the end of the day, if you don't have a burning passion and a long game, absolute drive and passion, you'll quit.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of loosely say, if you want to start a business, don't go and just buy a bakery thinking it's a good business. Are you passionate about baking?
Yeah.
Are you, like, so, and it's that underlying passion that will get you through the times of, oh, I've dropped freaking 20 grand in here and there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
It will, like, for me, with the kids apps that I did, it got to the point, and I learned a lot because I had a team of people and trying to juggle a team, and I think it became apparent that some of the team members didn't have the same passion and drive that I had.
Yeah.
And I was carrying it all.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think, like, again, your advantage here, Ben, is you've got mum and dad that have been down that path before.
Yeah.
And whether they succeeded the first time they started, I don't know. But regardless of whether they did or they didn't, they've got story and experiences to give you, and you're surrounded by positive people when it comes to business and entrepreneurship. So whereas a lot of potential or want to be entrepreneurs may not have that in their life, so they need to go and search to find that team of people directly associated with them that's going to continue to be on the upward trend.
And have you in the back of your mind, and it's okay if you don't have an answer to this, but it's like, if I haven't got this thing flapping its wings in 5 years and 80 grand, I might stop? Or are you just vibing it out year on year?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just got to take it as it comes.
Yeah.
So, obviously, if you're not getting a positive return on investment after, you know, a certain amount of time.
All signs of life.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the important thing.
Pulse. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Then, yeah, look, it might be best to call it a day.
And, I mean, you're only a year in. I mean, realistically, I think it's good. You've got to give this a good shake for the next 5 years.
Yeah. Well, have you put a time frame at all? 3, 5?
Well, not one per se. I think that's one where it sort of take it as it sort of comes.
Yeah.
So, if you were... Let's just back up. So, anyone out there right now, pick up your phone, go to Instagram, at Gecko.
Gecko.ig.
Yeah. Gecko.ig. Have a look. Just... Was there another company that's Gecko or something like that? What are you doing with trademarks? And
yeah, yeah.
So at what point do you spend the money on you know, throwing a grand at a trademark or something like that?
Oh, we've actually, that was the first, that's the whole reason why I started, why I say I started a year ago.
Sure.
Was because I needed a sole trader or a company to at least
register
the trademark.
Yeah.
So when I say a year, obviously the idea has been around since about January 2018.
Sure.
But I, when it became an actual, you know, sole trader, trading entity, it was the 4th of April 2018.
So you started as a sole trader and then incorporated.
As I said, the reason that I started off as a sole trader is because it's just a bit cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then as soon as I sort of got that consultation from the law firm saying, yeah, you've got to become a company.
Why did they say become a company? What was the, do you know the actual reason? I'm just curious.
Well, there's a fair few reasons on why it's better to have a company. Obviously, there's the tax bit for if it, you know, does kick off and all that sort of thing as
but
well.
But you're referring to for trademarking, aren't you?
Oh, no, just in general.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was advised that way back when as well.
To do a company.
Company rather than
It's more of an investment, like long term.
I mean, I use unit trusts.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Because of the CGT, if you ever want to sell the asset.
Yeah, sorry. So, we're talking two separate things. We've got a family trust and then you've got companies underneath that, haven't you?
For me.
Yeah. That was my advice or given to me.
Yeah, that's right.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Which you're saying
who owns the shares in your company? Just you?
Yeah, just
and
me.
You're the director?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what you would have to do if it started to really grow legs for risk management, you'd probably get a family trust and have the family trust own the shares in the company.
Yeah, right. So, what I would probably look at as well would be...
this isn't tax advice either. it's barely life advice.
Yeah. So, like, once that sort of... it does kick off, I'll definitely be looking for mentors.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not looking for dumb money. I'm looking for someone with, you know, a whole lot of experience that can help me grow as a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well as help the business grow itself.
Yeah.
So, to add on to what you were saying, that's more the direction I would be looking ahead. Into. So, similar to that sort of Shark Tank sort of atmosphere. But
Actually, what I can do, have you seen on the Your Money show called River Pitch?
I have not, no.
Check that out.
Yeah, we'll do.
Because if anyone has seen me, I go on Your Money live once a week.
Superstar.
Yeah, basically big deal, John.
Mm.
Basically. and they've got a thing like Shark Tank called River Pitch. Brilliant. And there's a few episodes online, so check that out. And it's a little bit, I think I was talking to one of the finalists down there and he said he feels that it's better than Shark Tank. Just, it's less,
commercialized. Or,
exactly. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like it's a little bit more robust, but I mean, you know, and what you could do as well, I'm just thinking out loud here and it's, you know, don't listen to me, but I'm just thinking like you would have your IP and the brand in one company and have the operating stuff in another one. So then if you ever... I always start with the end somewhat in mind.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, if you did get it really off the ground and cranking, you could maybe sell the entity and lease the name back to them or something like that. So,
yeah,
it's there's a million ways.
Definitely
to
skin a discussion
cat.
I'll have with my accountant.
That's for sure. Yeah. And that's it. Like, I think it's good that you've got the advice early on.
Yeah.
And it's that dance between, do I spend 20 grand with an accountant to get it off the ground, or do I just have a crack set up as a sole trader, get an ABN, and get the thing moving, and then slowly,
You
know, go down that road.
The longer you go into it, the harder it is to reverse back, right?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, you've just got to do things right with the right advice.
Yeah. So, what does Ben from Gecko do in his spare time? Has he got a life outside that, or is it entrepreneurship?
I play a bit of football.
Yeah.
That's just to keep fit and all that sort of thing. So, as I was saying, I play for St. George.
Yep.
Which is
football is in brackets soccer.
The real football.
Yeah, yeah. So the real football soccer.
So for those out there, if you're no good at AFL, you go and play soccer, don't you, or league? Yeah. Is it?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, sorry, Ben. Carry on. So you play some grass ballet.
No, it's. I can tell you, I'm definitely not dancing. So we got training about 3 times a week. It's good fun. I've been playing it since I was about 3 years old.
So you've been like A grade almost.
No, so I'm playing 20s at the moment. I played first grade a couple of years ago.
I don't even know anything about sport.
Yeah, it was a lower grade.
No, that's
trying
good.
To sound intelligent on sport. So, okay, so you're active with sport. Are you in a relationship?
No, I'm not.
No. So okay. If
no need for a family trust just yet.
No need for a family trust. And we'll try and put a photo of you on Instagram. So if there's any candidates, they can stalk you and slide into a DM and get you married off in no time.
My millennial relationships.
Yeah, oh, basically.
Clutch, yeah.
So let's swing back around. If I said to you, all things going perfect,
yeah,
what do you want Gecko to look like in 5 years?
Yeah. I would like for it to sort of grow.
Yeah.
Obviously, but more in a way that can, you know, help a variety of people. So obviously I would like those sort of categories bumped up a little bit more, so those pages are completely filled.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind going over, you know, from Sydney, then maybe expanding to the coast, to Wollongong, maybe Melbourne, Brisbane, just around that sort of east coast, possibly.
Question.
Yes.
Sorry to jump in, no, but it's promise. Really important, and you know, it's why it's called My Millennial Money.
Glenn's.
Why? And I'm absolutely serious when I say this. Why wouldn't you, at some point, maybe when you finish uni, pack your freaking bag and go live in the valley, San Fran,
yeah,
for 3 months?
Well, I think that sort of area or doing that doesn't really, I don't know, excite me or motivate me, I guess.
Right. So, not to be for around.
Not so much being around. I think Silicon Valley now is a bit more conglomeratized.
Yes.
So, where you've got those Googles and Facebooks and all that, it's, I'd say that in Sydney, our sort of startup hub is very underrated.
Yeah. And I know, like, Google wanted to make Sydney a bit of a Silicon Valley startup.
Yeah.
Because you've got, like, Blue Chili, I think they're Australian.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would be just encouraging you to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you go to like, do you know the website Meetups or whatever it's called?
Right.
Just all the different meetups.
Yeah.
Like it's still a cranking place.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I just think you unplug and you go to different places. You get out of your normal routine.
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely going over there for a couple months or something like that would be pretty cool. Whether to sort of live over there. I don't know. You know how you guys are talking about fear a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, there's a little bit of a sense of that. But I do genuinely, wholeheartedly believe that Sydney's startup hub and, you know, everything that we provide here is definitely world standard.
Yeah, because you're in the UTS startup hub, aren't you?
Yeah. So, the UTS startup hub, I could not, if you're thinking about entrepreneurship, I could not say, you know, to go anywhere else.
Yeah. And to be honest, I'm probably out of date with what's going on in Sydney because I kind of removed from that startup scene in Sydney for 4 years.
Yeah. Fair.
So, and that hub would no doubt give you plenty of encouragement and motivation because everyone else is doing a similar thing or
100%.
Heading in the same direction.
So, you've got a whole lot of different sort of minds.
Yeah.
And I think that's the really cool part of it. So I remember I was having a problem and Sebastian pretty much, you know, heard and he just gave me this motivational speech for, you know, a couple minutes and it was like, wow, yeah, you've got a great point. And it motivated me to, you know, get up out there and start getting my hands dirty.
Yeah, okay. So, if I was on Shark Tank, it was sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's real for Ben. What's your outcome in 12 months? What do you want?
It's a good question.
Do you want to be in market in 12 months?
What do you mean?
Oh, like actually active product?
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. I want that to be out there as soon as possible. Yeah.
So, your website
yeah.
is
www.geckoonline.com.au/make extra cash.
Yeah, sweet. So I want everyone listening, if you're interested in this, jump on there because I think I had a look. You can subscribe and get an update of where things are at.
Yeah, yeah. So it's more like, yeah, just sign up and just hear where we're up to and all that sort of thing. Our Facebook's pretty up to date. So we try and get on there every week or so.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it's a one-man band at the moment. I'm trying to get Instagram on that.
Yeah.
Sort of same road in LinkedIn, but obviously
doing parts of your business.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be looking to get interns in soon for sure.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, I think business owners do that too early. They go and employ people in their business way too long way too short when they end up spending a whole heap of money to employ these people in their business when they can just do the hard yards and do it themselves in the early stages.
Yeah, I didn't employ until I was literally having 3 strokes a day with that in.
And what that does is it teaches you about every facet of your business. So when it does come time to employ people, you're fully on top of that space and you can keep them account.
Yeah, I'm a big believer as well is hiring people that are more intelligent than you as well. Yeah. So for example, I've got one of my mates or sort of like mentors, and we sort of, it's a bit of a peer-to-peer thing because he's starting his own thing as well.
Yeah,
but he's a lot smarter at marketing than I am.
Yeah.
And I, whenever I've sort of got something, whether it's an email or something like that, I'll say, Don, have a look at this. And yeah, you'll have a look at that and say, oh, that's great. But another thing that you could do is just phrase this a little better. And you can sort of maximize your sort of your outreach and that sort of thing, which I think is really valuable.
And I think it goes back to, it's kind of this cool two-edged sword that we've got here. We've got someone, and there's never been a better time in life to start a business because realistically, you've got all the tools. You can focus all your money basically on core business. You don't have to build other stuff because you can just plug that in.
Yeah.
Like it's...
You can just capture audience so quick, can't you?
Yeah, as well. So
today's living.
But this is a cool thing. So we've got someone who's starting a business and we hope that it will be successful and, you know, we hope that you will list it one day and blah, 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 the rest is history. But on the other side of the coin, if you're in debt and you are looking for ways for extra cash when Ben gets this stuff off the ground, it will be a cool way to rent this stuff out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I could even use it, for example, because where I live and where John lives, holiday season, like how much bloody, like how many people are around? Like,
need stuff.
Like we've got so much stuff that I could just rent out for like a week or two or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I think I was reading the actual statistic, 90% of Australian homes have, you know, things that they can either give away or make some money off.
Yeah.
And I think this is sort of a good way. I know a lot of people were a little bit like, you know, they sort of cringe at the fact that, yeah, I don't want to give this away. You know, this is my suit. I've had this suit, you know, it's gone through generations. And it's like, yeah, sure. But, you know, and it's not for everyone.
Yeah, well, don't give it away then.
Yeah, yeah.
Rent out.
Yeah, exactly. Rent it out, you know. And yeah, that's the sort of the premise of it.
So.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I usually say to people, it's like, hey, if you've got crap in your house that you haven't used for 2 years and it's not a family heirloom, piss it off, sell it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, if you've got crap in your house that you haven't used, if it is of somewhat value, get a Gecko account.
Yeah.
And so, just if we go back, you will obviously work as in, you know, the Uber model-esque where you're the platform and the Airbnb that you facilitate the relationships and scoop a fee.
Yeah. So, we're a marketplace
That's
involved with the shared economy. So, very similar to Uber, Airbnb and all those.
And will are your fees percentage-based or flat dollar?
Yeah, so that will be commission, but of course you can also pay extra. Like you don't have to pay for an ad.
Yeah.
You can, you know, pay if you want it on the homepage or if you want it at the top or if you want it highlighted.
Let's use a practical example. I've got a canoe or something at home.
Okay.
And, or no, stand up paddleboard. I've got a sup and I put it on there. You can rent this. And I charge $100 for the week, for example. So, if holiday people come up, that $100 a week,
yeah,
what's your slice?
Right. So we will take 15%.
Sure.
That will be off you.
Yep.
So the lender.
Yep.
And then the person who's borrowing it will take 5%. But what we're pretty big on, and something that we'll do
with the person. So if I'm paying to hire the sup and I pay $100,
yep,
you're taking 15 of it.
So I'm taking 15% of you when you're lending it out.
Yeah.
And
so
then
I'm
taking
85.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so you'll make $85.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then I'll also take 5% from the person who's borrowing it. So it'll cost them 105.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant you'd give them
5%. Yeah, yeah.
That's one thing, and I don't know why I didn't just discount it, but
double dip.
Okay. Sweet. So, okay. And I guess once you get it in market, you can really test.
Yeah, exactly. See what people sort of cringe at a little bit. Yeah. But the way I look at it is a bit of pie is better than no pie.
Yeah.
So, that's my philosophy, and
that's,
I think it's
such
the best way.
Startup community. The amount of cool people that I met through Google when I was in the startup world down there in like 2011, met the guy who started Atlassian.
Oh, really? That's insane.
Melanie Perkins, I met her. Like, so all those kind of Canva, you heard of Canva?
Mm. Yeah.
So all those people, they were hanging around that Google community.
Right, yeah.
And we were always challenged, like, whatever you do, it's got to be saleable and scalable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're your two things. And it was like, do you want, in terms of your startup business, like if someone kicked your door down and said, oh, I'll give you $300,000, but we want 80%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, do I want a small part of something that could be huge, or a big part of something that's maybe never going to be?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But that's a dance that you've got to take down the track.
100%.
But I think it's great. And if, you know, you wake up tomorrow morning and you're working on Gecko, what's your biggest challenge at the moment with Gecko?
At the moment, it's actually quite interesting. So getting that grant, as well as that trying to build that mailing list that you were just talking about. Yeah. So those are the two biggest sort of challenges. So number one, I want that mailing list.
What do you use to capture
MailChimp at the moment?
You need to get rid of that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they suck.
I told John that as well.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I'm on ActiveCampaign.
As soon as I can sort of, you know, afford to get rid of it, I will be getting rid of it.
Or HubSpot.
Yeah.
I think they don't charge you.
Check out HubSpot. Right. Yeah, no, we'll do.
I use ActiveCampaign.
Right.
I don't know why, but they're an American company. They've got an office in Sydney now.
Oh, awesome.
So check out ActiveCampaign as well. Your biggest challenge is the mailing list thing.
Yeah. So with the mailing list, we do need as many as possible. And the reason for that is we're not starting off with zero. We'll be starting off with, I think we've got about 600 at the moment.
Yeah.
So we'll be starting off with roughly about, hopefully about 200 sort of items that can be put on straight away.
Sweet.
Yeah, good.
And then just go from there. Yeah.
And okay, so mailing list, you got to get that sorted, and the grants.
Yeah. So the grants are a little tricky because they're not exactly customized or built for C2C marketplace.
Sure.
Probably a bit more B2C.
Yeah.
So they are a tad bit tricky, but and it's not guaranteed that I will get it.
Mm.
But it's just something I've been working on at the moment. Hopefully, it turns out all right.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, good.
That's been really great, and I guess thanks for heading up to our studio.
Yeah, no, it's been great fun.
But we'll be watching with real interest, and you know, if I can personally do anything to help you, I'm happy to help.
Yeah, no, it'd be really cool.
I'm just a guy, but I don't know.
I think first and foremost, it gives motivation for others.
To the mic a bit more?
Gives motivation. Thanks. And encouragement for everyone else listening out there that's thinking the same thing: startup, entrepreneurship, being a business owner. And there's no common platform to start. You just got to start, right?
Yeah. And it's like seeing something that pisses you off that there is no solution for.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, and I guess what I would say, and you touched on it earlier, you've got to surround yourself with people who are encouraging, not small mindset.
Yeah.
So imagine if you said that to some of it's the people in your world that they just shot it down. Like, oh, no, no, that's great. We'll never.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you cut them off out of your life. No, but you just don't talk to them about that.
Yeah, you're just very, I guess, selective with the information. I mean, in my life, I've got some key mentors who are pretty big hitters and have thinking, you know, they just think outside of the square. Hey, I know I crap on all the time about getting our foundations in place, but our personal protection plan is something you need to do today. I know many of our listeners have got this set up, but if you're one of them and haven't already, go to sortyourmoneyout.com, click get help, and I'll put you in touch with someone who can guide you through. Generally, there's no cost to have an initial chat. And if you're young, fit, and healthy, you need to get this stuff in place today. If you've got a family and you're not covered, hey, what if you freaking died? I'm not messing around. You need to get insured. Do it now. And anyone that I refer you to will do it the same way that we teach and we talk about here. And that advice provider, wherever you are in Australia, are happy to have a complimentary discussion with you at no cost to see where you're at and see if they can help. So what have you got to lose? Have a chat today. Jump on to sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help. All right. Well, let's end with a question. And thanks for everybody who sends questions. Sometimes if you send me 50 paragraphs, I don't literally have the time to answer it and give you personal advice. But what I can do is I can ask you to either put it in the Facebook group or ask if I can introduce you to a professional that might be able to have a quick chat with you. Because generally when we get questions, it's great to talk about, but we've got so many questions that we need to ask you. It's just really hard. So, but keep the questions coming. But sometimes if it is quite long and detailed, I might be limited with, how I can help. But Nathan sent me an Instagram message today. I'm a diligent saver. I'm 20 years old and I have enough saved to buy a home in Bris Vegas. He actually said Brisbane. I just called it Brisbane weapon and avoid LMI. And he has 10% of his portfolio in shares.
What's the other 90?
Yeah.
Probably anyway, in the bank account.
Well, I'm just thinking. So, I'm a diligent saver and I'm 20 years old. I have enough saved to buy a home in Brisbane and avoid LMI. And I also have about 10% in shares. My question is, should I purchase a house using the full 20% or use 10% and cop some LMI in order to utilize the extra 40K of my personal savings if issues arise? Additionally, is it worth getting into property or continue my current situation as long as I can comfortably or I'm able to save between $700 and $800 for a week? I just said, yo, we're recording an episode today, so we'll chat about this. It's a goodie. Well done. What do you do for work? Approximate income. He's in admin for the government earning 70K a year. So he's walking away with a grand a week, basically. So I guess the question is, if you've got money saved, do you put the whole 20% deposit down and get into the property? And I asked him, he's going to live in this property. Or do you hold back some cash and keep it invested, liquid, cash or whatever, and put only a 10% deposit down and pay some LMI?
My first thought on that would be, if he's saving $700 to $800 a week, I'd put as much money as I can down on as a deposit and avoid LMI based on the fact that he's living in it.
Yeah, and that's because it's not a deduction. I'm probably of the view that if you don't have to pay LMI, don't pay it.
No, you can't. Yeah.
And yeah. I did a podcast on the Express about LMI, if you want to know what that is. So just scroll down. It's Lenders Mortgage Insurance. So I won't get into that now. But yeah, I'm kind of the view, if you don't have to pay LMI, don't pay it. Just get into the property. You won't be saving what you're saving now once you get into the property, because you might have other expenses and you might need to get someone in to help with the rent or, you know, a flatmate in to help. But you've got a good track record of being able to save, and you're only 20 years old.
Yeah.
So even if he did wake up tomorrow with a home with a small mortgage and you didn't pay LMI,
yeah,
you can save at least $500 a week.
Yeah, basically. No, put as much in and just continue to save. Well done.
Sweet. Did you have anything to add, Ben, on that? Your wisdom of being an accountant-ish? Not really.
What I would sort of say is, look, it also depends how much he's got saved and what he's sort of using as 80, day-to-day living expenses sort of thing.
Yeah, he's got...
has he got enough for day-to-day living expenses and all that? Or
utilize the extra 40 to 50K of my personal savings. So, he's cashed up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, yeah, I would say to, do what you said.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Love your work.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, do you reckon Gecko will be available in Africa?
Oh, that's a shocker.
Oh, actually, one thing I was going to say before you guys go, when you roll out the testing, will you test in like Sydney CBD only first?
Greater
Sydney first? Like geo testing?
It'll be mostly in the sort of city sort of regions, but anyone who's sort of interested, it's all good.
Sweet. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Ben, and thanks for getting out there, reaching out and driving up here. I appreciate it.
No, it's just good
to have content.
And that was great to come.
Remember, at gecko.ig on Instagram, follow him, like him, do all that. And if you're a Sangle and you like his stuff, slip him a DM. Slide into his DM.
Slippery slide into his DMs.
Okay, later.
See you guys.
If you are after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. In fact, it's a general advice podcast. But if you do want somebody to talk to, jump onto sortyourmoneyout.com and click on Get Help, and I'll be able to put you in touch with an advisor or a mortgage broker who can actually sit down with you or have a Skype or a Zoom meeting and really work out what you need based on your own personal circumstances.
Remember, we hang out on Insta at MyMillennialMoney. If you're a regular listener, you're welcome to join our Facebook group. If you want more money hacks, be sure to subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's short money hacks anywhere, anytime, right into your ears. Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Ghetto Proprietary Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.